Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program from the floor of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia is Jeff Cohen, Associate Professor of Journalism and Director of the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College. Jeff is founder of the media watch group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR, that has a program here on WPKN each week. He's the author of five books, or co-author of five books, and was a senior producer of Phil Donahue's MSNBC cable TV news show until the show was taken off the air by the executives at MSNBC on the eve of the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. Jeff, great to have you on the program tonight. Thank you for making time for us.
Great to be with you.
So you're there at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm at the convention. I'm not at the arena now.
Okay.
I've been all over. I've been with all the, especially the Bernie delegates. And I'm here because RootsAction.org, an online activism group that I co-founded with Norman Solomon, we started something along with our partners, Progressive Democrats of America. We started the Bernie Delegates Network. And the Bernie Delegates Network has been an effort to get Bernie delegates to communicate with each other and perhaps in a disciplined, nonviolent way convince people that the progressive movement is here, the political revolution continues. We are not involved in booing and hissing and individual unruliness. We've been trying to get people together to work together and to make coherent political critique.
Thank you for that, Jeff. As we've been talking about this evening, the big story nationally and at the Democratic National Convention is this WikiLeaks revelation of emails,
yep,
of emails that describe discussion among those chiefs at the DNC on ways they could sabotage Bernie's campaign, a charge that has long been made by Bernie supporters against the Democratic National Committee and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Democratic chair. She has now resigned and was unceremoniously removed from the agenda the first night of the Democratic convention. She was supposed to gavel in the start of the convention, but that decision was rethought, obviously, and they took her down. Jeff, how big an issue is this WikiLeaks revelation for the Democratic Party as a whole, and particularly for Bernie delegates?
I think it's just an added irritant. It's my sense that what's a more major irritant is that there had been hopes, and this is what, and the Bernie Delegates Network was surveyed about 12, 13 days ago on, you know, whether some of these corporate centrists that were being bandied about in the media as potential vice presidential picks for Hillary Clinton, you know, whether the Bernie delegates found them acceptable, not acceptable, the whole idea being if one of these individuals is chosen, does it bring about an alliance that can defeat Trump handily in November? And one of the people on the list was Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia, who Hillary ended up choosing. She was not, you know, Tim Kaine was definitely not a favorite of Bernie delegates. And so there had been a hope, and it's dashed, and it's caused a major, I think, something from disappointment to anger that there was no attempt by Team Hillary, by Team Clinton, to reach across to the other half of the Democratic Party by choosing a vice presidential running mate that would be able to energize and enthuse Bernie supporters. I mean, it's very rare where you have a losing candidate, and obviously we know from the emails that you brought out that in spite of an unfair system, an unlevel playing field during the primary process, Bernie Sanders, an insurgent candidate, got 45% of the Democratic Party primary and caucus voters. It's quite an achievement. And so I'm hearing a lot of people from Team Clinton saying we need party unity, we need party unity. Well, the best way to have achieved party unity or a center-left alliance against Trump would have been to choose a vice presidential running mate other than Tim Kaine. It would have been to choose a vice presidential running mate that might bridge to the other part, the other wing of the party that's so wary of Hillary Clinton. Even Donald Trump did that. Trump chose as his vice presidential running mate Governor Pence, who had endorsed Ted Cruz. So it's not that unusual, and it was especially needed in the Democratic Party. And, you know, unfortunately, Senator Kaine, he's one of just a dozen Democratic senators who voted last year to fast-track Trans-Pacific Partnership. In many ways, he's in the conservative wing of the Democratic Party. So it was seen as sort of a poke in the eye when Hillary Clinton had this opportunity to try to bridge to the progressives and really build an alliance against Trump. And instead, she went with one of the more conservative Democrats in the U.S. Senate. Think about how different this convention would be if Hillary Clinton chose someone who was seen as sympathetic to the progressive wing of the party. Imagine if she had chosen Elizabeth Warren. And Warren did not endorse Bernie. She stayed neutral during the primaries, but she would have brought this convention and this center-left alliance together that I'm talking about, or a half a dozen others who would have could have been chosen and would have built this coalition. But so a lot of the so speaking for the Bernie delegates that I've been in touch with for the last few weeks in connection with the Bernie Delegates Network, I would say the major irritant is her choice of vice presidential running mate. And then the minor irritant is these horrendous emails that show the Democratic National Committee was not fair. That's not a revelation, but it is a revelation to see their internal emails. And then I'd say another irritant, which is really astounding, it's gotten very little play in the mainstream media, when it was announced that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was leaving in controversy the position as chair of the DNC based on being unfair to half of the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton immediately announced that Debbie Wasserman Schultz would be her honorary chair of her campaign in charge of some 50-state strategy. So it almost looks like, you know, I'm hearing the party leadership talk party unity, but they're making decisions that almost seem aimed at irritating and disuniting the Democratic Party from its base.
Jeff Cohen, I've read commentaries that try to rationalize Hillary Clinton's pick of Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia as her running mate by saying the left has nowhere else to go and that they will come into the fold and vote for Hillary in November. It's the independent voters that might be drawn to Donald Trump that she is trying to get with the nomination of Tim Kaine to be her vice presidential running mate. What do you make of that strategy?
Yeah. You're right that that's almost a mainstream media mantra, but I haven't heard that much today because it's finally dawned on the moronic mainstream media pundits that the Bernie supporters have somewhere to go. They have a home. They can stay home, or they could vote for Jill Stein, the Green Party. So it was a very, very stupid and risky strategy. What you're laying out is exactly what Team Clinton has been spinning and their friends in the punditocracy. If you want, I could count the ways that it's bad strategy. If your goal is to defeat Trump and defeat him handily in November. First of all, you could go after these moderate, imaginary moderate Republicans. Maybe there's 13 of them left in the country. But there's 13 million people that voted for Bernie Sanders. And if you choose someone like Tim Kaine, who's got this position on corporate trade, he wanted to within the last week, he signed on to a letter wanting to deregulate banks. I mean, if you choose someone like Tim Kaine, and by the way, he's a smart guy. Everyone says he's a very nice guy. He's got some liberal positions on especially gun control. He's been particularly brave. You know, he's got some redeeming qualities. But on the main issues that divided Hillary supporters from Bernie supporters, he's almost always on the wrong side. He's on the corporate side. So if you want to help Trump win, you, number one, divide up the Democratic Party by that choice. Two, you choose someone who's quite corporate, and you saw Donald Trump immediately when the choice was made. He's saying, I'm the guy who's standing with the common people, and they've got two corporate Democratic establishment insiders on their ticket. So it makes absolutely no strategic sense. The right strategic move in defeating Trump would be to choose a populist who could as the VP running mate, who could expose the faux populism of a Donald Trump, a billionaire who spent his whole life living in the lap of luxury. So the way to get the independent voters and the swing voters and the Bernie voters is to put someone on the ticket like an Elizabeth Warren or Sherrod Brown, the senator from Ohio, who even endorsed Hillary, but he's known as a guy who's fought for labor, fought for the working class, fought against NAFTA, fought against these trade deals. You'd put someone on your ticket who's an unmistakable populist and, you know, who's been there for years and years, not someone who wants to weaken regulations of Wall Street or some of the banks, as Tim Kaine's been trying to do in the last week or two. So, I mean, you are exactly right that that's the kind of spin we've been getting, that this is a good pick because it picks up the moderate Republicans. There are hardly any moderate Republicans left in the country. When you have an insurgent candidate with 13 million votes, the first thing you want to do, and especially when it includes the demographic of people under 30, and it's people that are willing to give up months of their lives as they have for Bernie and for the progressive agenda. If you chose someone as your VP running mate who animated and excited those people, you could really defeat Trump easily and take away his faux populism. But I believe they've made Tim Kaine seems to be a very nice guy. As a lawyer, he'd done civil rights work. He's not the right guy to defeat Trump handily. I feel it's going to be a close and scary election. Every progressive should do what they can to defeat Trump in spite of the mistakes of the Democratic Party leadership.
We're speaking with Jeff Cohen, Associate Professor of Journalism and Director of the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College. Jeff being a founder of the group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting that does a show here on WPKN each week. Jeff, Bernie Sanders himself, addressing his delegates at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia, talked up their victory, as he put it, with helping to craft one of the most progressive party platforms in Democratic Party history, as he said. What do you make of the influence of Sanders and his supporters on the Democratic Party platform, and how important is the Democratic Party platform, if you go over the history of how closely successful presidential candidates follow that platform?
Yeah, I think it's true that this is the most progressive Democratic Party platform in history. It's also true, as you're alluding to, that most presidents ignore the platform as soon as they get in office. So, I mean, it's a good thing. I love all the agitation to stop the TPP. Of course, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, of course, Tim Kaine was for the TPP until around 10 a.m. on Sunday. So it doesn't give you a lot of confidence. The most important decision that a presidential candidate, a presidential nominee, can make that they cannot go back on is who they choose as their running mate. That's why I'm harping on the importance of her choice of Tim Kaine. The platform is very progressive, but how many presidents have ever stuck to a party platform? I'm glad it happened. It shows the clout of the progressive community. I just feel what's hurting me is I'm watching these Bernie or bust people, and some of them are very young or politically inexperienced, and they do not understand, and I agree with Bernie on this, they do not understand what a huge victory the Bernie campaign was, how it built networks and organizations. It helped build, obviously, the Bernie Sanders campaign grew out of movements like Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter and Fight for $15 minimum wage. I mean, there were these social movements bubbling up in the last few years, and they were the movements and networks and Facebook groups that really elevated Bernie Sanders to come out of nowhere and take on the most powerful political machine that still exists, the Clinton machine. So I'm one of these people who believes this was a huge win. Even though Hillary Clinton's the party nominee, this is a huge win. But it's hard for me to convey that to a lot of the hardcore Bernie people who devoted months or a year of their lives to support this amazing progressive agenda and found millions and millions of people across the country that were joining that campaign. It's sort of hard for me to communicate, and you know, I've been in progressive politics for more than four decades, that this is a win, that all of our organizations are bigger than they were before because of the Bernie campaign, that independent media are stronger than they were before because of the Bernie campaign, that even the people and the pundits in the mainstream media know, wow, there's a real American left in this country. And, you know, because of the Bernie campaign, socialism has come out of the closet. And the even the mainstream media pundits have to realize, wow, there's a lot of people in this country that think corporate capitalism is problematic. And that includes a lot of people under 30. So to me, this campaign has really mattered and it really succeeded. And the only thing that could totally turn it around, in my view, is if the next president is Donald Trump. So, again, that's my view. It's hard to communicate to some of the hardcore Bernie supporters. But imagine our dreams were slightly scotched when we realized about a month ago Elizabeth Warren wasn't even seriously being considered as a VP. As of a week or two ago, we realized Sherrod Brown wasn't even being considered. We thought there was a chance that Tom Perez, the labor secretary, who, you know, he can't speak out against TPP because he's in Obama's cabinet, but he's very well loved by civil rights activists, labor union activists. So, you know, none of those choices were made. And if one of those choices had been made, I was telling people that with a good center-left alliance behind the Democratic ticket, you could beat Trump by 7, 8, 9, 10 points, and Jill Stein could get, you know, a point or a point and a half. And it would show that here's the corporate centrist led by Hillary Clinton taking the White House, and here's a major left-wing force, a progressive force that's breathing down their necks. And if you could defeat Trump handily, then you have the right wing in disarray where everyone's pointing fingers at each other on the right wing. That would have been a good case scenario. Where they, you know, corporate centrists are in power, led by Hillary Clinton. The left is as strong as it's been in decades, breathing down their necks, pushing them to abide by this platform that they ironed out, and the right wing would be in total disarray. But my fear is, partly because of the Tim Kaine choice, and partly because of what's been going on here in Philadelphia, and partly because of things like Hillary Clinton appointing Debbie Wasserman Schultz as one of her honorary chairs. Was that insane, stupid, or what? And so, you know, there was a good scenario that I could envision a few weeks ago. Now what I envision is a nightmare, that the election will be very, very, very close, that even if Hillary can win, the neo-fascists, the faux populists on the far right wing who are racial dividers and misogynists, they will be emboldened. even if they lose, but if it's a close election, you know, there's going to be Trump imitators running for state office, that the only hope of turning back Trump was to really defeat him seriously at the polls in November, and I'm just not optimistic that can happen anymore.
Jeff Cohen, Bernie Sanders has long said this campaign for the Democratic Party nomination of his was not about him personally. It was about building a movement, building a political revolution. What are your hopes that a multi-issue progressive movement that's more effective than what we've had for several decades can emerge out of the Bernie Sanders campaign? Organizers for Bernie's campaign came together in something called Brand New Congress recently.
Right.
And, you know, they're putting together the apparatus to raise the funds to get progressive independents elected to Congress over, I think their goal is to start that process in 2018. But what hope do you have that something can grow out of this enormously hopeful movement that surrounded Bernie?
Well, I'm still hopeful. I was more hopeful 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I was at the People's Summit in Chicago, which brought together several thousand Bernie activists from every various movement, very multiracial, multigenerational, all sorts of young people in Chicago, keeping their networks together, keeping their organizations together. I believe that if Trump wins and becomes president, the progressive thrust is really set back. Because then you're just fighting defensive battles against Trump's perhaps anti-constitutional moves, his moves to restrict civil liberties and the right to dissent, his moves against the media. All of a sudden, it's completely on the defensive. But if the Democrats can take the White House, my view is if the Democrats can win the White House and win it not, 50-50, but win it with a little bit of strength, then and the Bernie movements can stay together and the networks stay together. Maybe we're in a period like 1932, especially if somehow Trump self-destructs, but it doesn't seem to be happening. It seems more like the Democrats are self-destructing. But ideally, if Hillary Clinton is in the White House and there's a strong, strong left and she's made all these promises of what she's going to do in the first 100 days, including infrastructure, jobs programs. I mean, she's borrowed some of the Bernie program, but, you know, the problem is a lot of us don't believe she's going to implement it. But if she got elected, there's a strong left that'll be breathing down the necks of the corporate centrist. It's a little bit like 1932, when Franklin Roosevelt ran on a pretty moderate platform, certainly not as progressive as the Democratic Party platform of today, but there were these independent socialist and working class movements that pushed on Franklin Roosevelt. They were representing millions of people, and we had one of the biggest progressive thrusts forward in the history of our country in the 1930s because a Democrat was in the White House and was being pushed by independent social movements. So, I mean, that's been my hope after, you know, obviously the best case scenario was President Sanders. We realized months ago that wasn't going to happen. So my next case scenario was Hillary running with a decent vice presidential running mate who's somewhat populist and not corporate, could trounce Trump, get the right wing fighting itself after November, and with the ascendant left pushing on Hillary Clinton. That was the scenario I was hoping for. It seems a little less likely today than it did maybe a month ago.
Jeff, just a final question, and thanks so much for your time tonight on a busy evening in Philadelphia. But I wanted to get your observation of media. This election season has been enormously interesting and departed from the script we've seen, you know, over many, many years of Democratic and Republican Party contests for the presidential nomination.
Yeah.
Where do you think the corporate media has succeeded and failed in covering these issues which have risen to the top that, you know, are unique, really, in our recent history here in the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, I think in spite of the mainstream media, the Bernie movement was so powerful that for the first time you had the Trans-Pacific Partnership debated on TV because of Bernie. You had all sorts of issues that had never been discussed in mainstream corporate-dominated media, including so-called public broadcasting, like free public college education. That got into the mainstream media because of the Bernie campaign. Or the idea that we're the only advanced industrial country that doesn't have health care. Universal health care as a right, nonprofit health care, not a system dominated by profiteering corporations. So there were all these ideas that got in there in spite of the media, the mainstream media. And the best example of that is, you know, and you probably saw some of this critique from FAIR, and people can go on FAIR.org. But in 2015, when there were two ascendant candidates coming out of nowhere, Donald Trump on the right and Bernie Sanders on the left, Bernie getting even bigger rallies, both of them were soaring in the polls. ABC World News Tonight, to just give perhaps the worst example, but they were all similar. ABC World News Tonight in 2015, the first 11 months, gave Bernie Sanders just 20 seconds of coverage. Donald Trump got 81 minutes. So 81 minutes for Trump, 20 seconds for Bernie. So, I mean, in spite of the corporate biases of the mainstream media, the Bernie campaign really achieved things in changing the debate, bringing socialism out of the closet, bringing a coherent critique of corporatism out of the closet, in spite of mainstream media bias. But, Scott, you should let people know that, you know, the group that I'm in Philadelphia working with is, you know, RootsAction.org is the online independent progressive activism force. RootsAction.org is, you know, endorsed by people like Glenn Greenwald, Naomi Klein, Cornel West, Jim Hightower, Barbara Ehrenreich, Phil Donahue, et cetera, et cetera. And we're an independent group working for peace and justice, and we were the spearheads for the Bernie Delegates Network that's now so active here in Philadelphia, trying to do disciplined actions as opposed to heckling and booing that I'm seeing from some of the Bernie or bust crowd. We're not the Bernie or bust crowd.
Well, we're going to follow your work at Roots Action as we have over the years, Jeff. And thanks so much for all the important work you do in all your various hats that you wear. And always appreciate you making time to give us analysis and your perspective on these important issues. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Jeff Cohen, Associate Professor of Journalism and Director of the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College, founder of the Media Watch Group, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, or FAIR.